Among the other well-known Rishonim that make reference to the Chovis Alvodus, quite interesting is the Ravid. In the past few weeks we have pointed out a little bit of somewhat of the great Rishonim that we can find, either affection or special chavivis that they had to the Chovis Alvodus. So among the various Rishonim, again, that had an affinity to the Chovis Alvodus was the Ravid. And we're talking about the Ravid of Avram ben Rav David, who is called the Ravid Hashlishi, the third Ravid. There are another two Ravids, but the one that's most famous to us is the one, the Ravid that wrote the criticisms on the Rambam, the Asogis Ravid. The Ravid himself was from Provence in France, and he was born in 1120. And he was Nifter also in Provence in the year 1197. Lamaise, interesting to point out, the Ravid himself was a very wealthy man. And due to that fact, he supported all the poor Talmidim, the various Talmidim that came from all over to learn by the Ravid. He himself would support them at his own expense, and included there among his Talmidim were, to us it's not that familiar, but it was a Mondrishayin Rabbein Yitzchak HaKoyin of Narvona, Rabbi Avrom HaKoyin, Avrom HaYarchi, and also Rabbein Yosher of Lunel, and so on, Talmidim of the Ravid. It's interesting and important to point out that although, as we said, that the Ravid was a wealthy person, but his lifestyle was totally unbecoming at all. One would never know at all about the wealth that, in fact, that he possessed. And he lived a life of Kedusha, a saintly life, Tupshutai, like a Rishon would live. In Pasquieres, in France, where the Ravid lived, there was a particular lord who was very envious of the Ravid. The Ravid had all this wealth, because although he himself, his lifestyle was not to flaunt his wealth, but it was known that he supported all the tzedakah that he did, all the chesed he did, supporting all the poor Talmidim and so on, so it became known. And as a result, what he did was he basically slandered him. He slandered him to the public authorities, and the Ravid again was imprisoned. And so far throughout the weeks, we have pointed out many, many great Rishonim that have been libeled and slandered, and Lamaisa were imprisoned. We mentioned about the Ram, who was in prison. And here we hear about the Ravid was in prison. Talk about the Rivosh, who was imprisoned. And Rivosh mentions in his Shuvis, he says, many other great names of Talmid HaChachomim, who also shared and were in prison at the same time as well. But there was a particular account who was very, very influential, Mamaila, who saw to it that the Ravid was released, and to the extent that he even had this Lord severely punished for the fact that he imprisoned the Ravid. Important to point out that the Ravid, throughout his career, developed his style as being as a critic, not for the sake of criticizing. His Hagoyis Lamaisa perfected many, many works, and clearly it illustrated the Ravid's style was that wherever you learn a piece of Gemara, that Talmudic logic has to be applied to each individual case, and that one cannot rely simply when someone hears about various halachas without actually studying the sources. That was a very important idea conveyed by the Ravid. And the Ravid also, as we find out, his critical Hagoyis on the Rif, because again, the Rif was one of the very, very early Rishayim who wrote the Halochis, which he took out, gleaning from all the various Gemaras, leaving out the Shaklavatarius and the Pilpul. And the Ravid writes Halochis, and writes their various Hagoyis, glasses. The Ravid Lamaisa brings out there the tremendous respect and the magnificence of the greatness and the godliness of the Rif's stature. And a matter of fact, he also apologizes, the Ravid, for his inability to not being able always to follow the Piske Halochah of the Rif. Because the Rif is basically a Sefer Halochah, that's what's called, Sefer Halochah of the Rif. But Ravid had his own opinions. So in spite of the fact, notwithstanding the fact that he tremendously, he says, admired the Rif and his greatness, and he extolled it himself, but he apologized that he's not always able to follow the halachas of the Rif. Among the other different, of course, Rishonim on the Rif, we know is the Balamoyer, known as the Rizal, Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi. And when the Rizal published his Sefer HaMoyer, you know, with his tainas and his criticisms against the Rif, the Ravid attacked him in very sharp terms. The Ravid attacked the Balamoyer very sharp, while making clear at the same time that he bore the Balamoyer no personal malice. Don't take it personally. So what I'm attacking is, he says, your Divrei Torah. I'm attacking, he says, your conclusions. And the Ravid claims that much of the better material in the Balamoyer, he says, the Ravid says, was already written earlier. And he suspected, in his opinion, again, his opinion is that maybe the Balamoyer took some of it from some earlier writings and so on. Just interesting is that when the Balamoyer was nifter before the Ravid, from that point on, he no longer spoke harshly of him, but he issued still his critique, but he says in more mellower tones. So, he still continued that. Of course, it is well known, I guess, why the Ravid for us might be mostly famous. It's for his criticism on the Rambam. You don't have an edition of the Rambam without the Ravid right there. And the Ravid does not simply disagree with the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, but really in very, very sharp and harsh terms. And the fact is, because the Rambam also was very original, did not follow in many of his halachas, that the Rambam paskins did not follow in the ways that was accepted before the Rambam. And the Ravid, therefore, lamayit hinalad nekude, which was, and everybody could appreciate that, the Ravid specifically also felt that the Rambam, when he wrote the Rambam, did an injustice. And that is, because all the previous, the Rishonim, whenever they would write halacha, they would also cite the sources. You open up a Rambam, you don't know where he took it from. So, if you say, thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, so came along the Beis Yosef, and he wrote the Kesef Mishnah. And the Kesef Mishnah goes on to point out, this halacha of the Rambam is from here, that halacha from the Rambam is from there. And yet, there are quite a number of halachas in the Rambam that the Kesef Mishnah does not give as the sources. And you might be aware or may not be aware that Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky himself actually tried to fill in the gaps in those areas that the Kesef Mishnah did not point out sources of the Rambam's halachas, where it came from. And Chaim Kanevsky himself offered some possible sources that might be sources to the Rambam. Interesting, and because of that fact, that the Rambam did not cite, at least in that sefer, did not cite the sources, we find that later Rishonim wrote to the Rambam saying, from where did you get it from? And if you take out, they put together a lot of letters called the Kizvei HaRambam and so on and so forth, you'd find that in certain areas, it's just fascinating where the Rambam responds, I wrote this Sefer, he says, many, many years ago, and I'm not sure about this particular halacha, but at the time, it was very clear to me where the source was. So it's very, very, it's a phenomenal thing. Now the Rambam himself would admit and say, you know, and sometimes he would say, I think it's over there, in that Gemara, or might be in a different Gemara. Those various foreign letters, actually, that the Rambam wrote. So it's very interesting. So the Ravid, as we're pointing out here, was one of those who actually wrote a letter. He writes a letter to the Yehuda Evan Tibon, and he writes him that, in fact, that he should really translate the Chovos Avodos for him. He should translate the Chovos Avodos, and he writes, Va'ato, he writes, the Rabbi Yehuda Ibn Tibon, who was the one who translated, of course, the Chovos Avodos, writes that Va'ata Shol Memenu HaChochem HaGodol Horav Rabbi Avram Rab David Zecher Tzadik Levrocha LaHashlim Loi Kol HaSefer MaHatakosi. So you see that there was a specific request. So being that we see on one hand the Ravid was a very, very strong critic of Kamat, all of his contemporaries and so on and so forth, he would stop at nothing, and yet here we see that he put in a petition that the Sefer Chovos Avodos should be translated on his behalf. So that's very interesting. The Ravid as being one of the fans of the Chovos Avodos. So let's mention one more here, because in the same time, about the same time, was also another well-known Rishon, Rabbeinu Yonason Melunel. Rabbeinu Yonason Melunel, again, obviously also of France. You might be aware, if you've ever learned Masechtas Eruvin, you know, when you open up the Rif, the back of the Gemara, well, you'll either have Nemukei Yosef, some Masechtas you have the Ran, right, which is surrounding the Rif. In Brachas you have Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, Masechtas Eruvin you have Rabbeinu Yonason. you open up Masechtas Erevin, you go to the back, you learn the Rif, and you see that the Pirish around the Rif is Rabbeinu Yoyin, that was Rabbeinu Yoyin of Lunel. Rabbeinu Yoyin of Lunel again, also was Provence, born in 1150. Legend has it that he went up to Eretz Yisrael and was Nifter in Eretz Yisrael. He was Nifter in the early 1200s. Rabbeinu Yoyin, interesting, in contrast to the Ravid's attitude towards the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yoyin was an extreme, one of the greatest admirers of the Rambam. An extreme admirer of the Rambam. He studies the Mishneh Torah, and he writes a letter to the Rambam addressing him. He has 24 questions. He says, he writes, and he writes that the questions are not all his, but he writes the name of the Chacham Lunel. The Chacham Lunel of France, and the Rambam gladly he replies to Rabbeinu Yoyin's questions, and he says that he's very pleased to see that the Sefer, that his Sefer, the Rambam, that is being studied, he says, in such an erudite manner, on such a high level. And as a matter of fact, some say, that being that Rabbeinu Yoyin was such a staunch defender of the Rambam, that he even wrote a Sefer refuting all of the Ravid's criticisms of the Mishneh Torah. So when you have all of the various kashas all over the place, when you open up the Rambam, you see the Ravid's tainus against the Rambam. So Rabbeinu Yoyin is purported, at least according to some opinions, that he wrote a Sefer in order to refute all of the criticisms that the Ravid had on the Rambam. I should mention just one more thing, which is also in the collection of letters. Very, very interesting letters, as they say. And that is that Rabbeinu Yoyin was such an extreme admirer of the Rambam that his wish was to have the opportunity to meet the Rambam one day. And he writes a letter to the Rambam. One day we should even read word for word. He writes a letter to the Rambam. He says that I'd like to sort of make an appointment with you. When would be an appropriate time? And it was not an easy trip. You have to realize, coming from France, the Rambam was in Cairo. And for those days, you know, it meant an extensive trip with a lot of tircha, a lot of heartaches, and a lot of obstacles. And when Yoyin writes to the Rambam, said, in spite, he says, of all the time consuming, you know, that it would be, and so on and so forth, I still, he says, my heart's desire is to have the opportunity at least to meet you once. So what do you think the Rambam answered? He says, I would love to meet you, I have no time. Rambam's answer, very fascinating. And when you go through to see how the Rambam breaks down his Seder Hayoim, it's a mind-boggling thing where the Rambam writes that actually he lived in a place called Fustat, which is a distance from Cairo. And he says, by chamor, by donkey, he traveled every day. He travels to Cairo. He served as the physician to the Sultan that occupied, he said, most of his day. By the time I come home, he says, I have no strength. The Rambam writes, I have no koyach. I'm forced to lie down in bed, barely able to eat something, he says. And I find that my house is filled with patients. Rambam was a physician. So now after a whole day traveling back and forth, no koyach, he says, he's just forced to take a little bit to rest. I barely have time to learn, this is what Rambam says. The only time, he says, that I have the ability to be Marbitz Torah somewhat, he says, is on Shabbos. He says, that's the time that I have. Otherwise, he says, I do not have any time. So therefore, he says, even if you would come to see me, he says, I would not be able to see you. I cannot push you in. I don't have the time to do it. So this is a letter which is, we have it. And maybe someday we should just go over it word for word. There's much more in it. It's very, very fascinating. So Rabbi Yisai, being that it's, we're learning Chovis Alvovis, which is Shara B'toch, and at the same time as well, it is already, as we say, close to Purim. So let's find out what Purim has to do with Bitochen. And we'll see a very interesting essay from Sefer Shvila Pinchas, from a Choshev Talmud Chochem in Eretz Yisrael. A very Choshev Talmud Chochem in Eretz Yisrael, a machaber of a number of the very important Svarim. And he says the following here. Brings down the following Chazal. Everybody knows, is familiar, that Haman, when he decided to choose the Chodesh Adar, that should be the month of destroying the Jewish people, the Medrash tells us the following. Medrash says that Hippel Pur Hu Agoyro Lifnei Haman, that matter of fact, that he drew lots, he cast lots. He says, Boloi Mazel Dogim. What came out was the Chodesh Adar, as we know, is the Mazel Dogim in the stars and in astrology. Right? Every month, of course, as we know, is representative of different things. And here it comes out that Chodesh Adar, we know the Mazel of Chodesh Adar, the constellation is fish. That is the sign. the sign of Chodesh Adar is fish. Mazalot dogim, shumishamish b'chodesh Adar, v'lo nimtzol ischus. In other words, Chodesh Adar, he saw, has no particular schus, no event, historical event of anything that should be meritorious for the Jewish people. And he goes on to say, b'somach miyad, when he saw that the lot and the girl that he drew, that it came out Chodesh Adar, he was very happy. Vomer, he said, Adar ein lo ischus, umaz lo ein lo ischus. The entire Chodesh Adar does not have anything that is a schus, that the Jewish people should be able to draw from it. Lo yoid. This part is quite well known, that Chodesh Adar, Zayin Adar, of course, is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, passed away. But the Hula Yoda, but Haman did not know that Zayin Adar, the seventh day of Adar, was not only the Misa of Moshe, but is also the birthday of Moshe. Did not know Shabbat, Shabbishiva Bodar, Mes Moshe, Bishiva Bodar, Noilad Moshe. So now he continued on. Haman Kitumiyan, Sey Chazal. Being that Chodesh Adar, right, that the sign and the mazel, the mazel and the stars of Chodesh Adar is dogim. Well, what are the characteristics of fish? So Haman made the following cheshbon. We know that fish swallow and eat other fish. So kishem, he says, shadogim boilin, the same way that fish, right, certainly the large fish, that they swallow up other fish. Kacha ni balei oisan, I also will be able to swallow up the Jewish people. He took that as an omen, took that as a good sign, that something about fish is something is telling him that he's going to be matliach, to be able to do what the fish do. Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Rosha, fish have two qualities. Dogim pomim nivloim and pomim boilim. Fish, yes, some fish are those that swallow, but there are some who are the victims. So fish also are swallowed up. Well, guess what? V'achshav oisa ha'ish nivlam in aboilim. And now you, Haman, you are going to be not the swallower, but you're going to be the swallowed up one. So points out the Medrash. So we saw here again, so found out that Chodesh Adar, that was the month that, in fact, Haman chooses, but yet that was the month that brought the Yeshua. So let's find out. So what is the other? What was really the secret of Chodesh Adar? So the royal is bein and mala kesher bein mazel dogim. The fact that Adar possesses, the fact that this is the month of mazel dogim. What is mazel dogim? What is the aspect of fish have to do latzolus Yisrael bnei Purim? The point of the following. When Ari says limtzay pisrin lechidezu al pimashim matzosi bekuntres mishmeres kehuna. There's a kundras called Mishmeres Kehuna, which is printed beside Sefer Oyer Toil, Agoin HaKodesh Ma'ostrov, says Zuhus Yogin Leinu. The Ostrov Sarebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Yechiel, was a tremendous goyin. His son was succeeded him, his name was Rav Cheskele. He was the Ostrov Sarebbe that followed him, and he was, he died in the Holocaust, Rav Cheskele, with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. A lot is said about him, was a great person in his own right. The Ostrov Rebbe, in addition to being a Rebbe, was a Goyin HaGoyinim, literally. In Svarim in Poland, when they would ask him to give Haskomas on Svarim, he would not just write a Haskoma, but he would go through the Sefer, of course, and in the Haskoma, he would write tremendous Pilpulim in the Haskoma regarding the items that are presented in the Sefer. In addition to that, he was a tremendous tzaddik who lived his life B'kedusha V'Tahara, and he fasted 40 years of his life. Only eating something at night, which turned out to be that his stomach really just so like shriveled that even on Shabbos he did not really have the ability to eat much more. But this was the Metzius of Shwenis Tzidkis. By the way, the Klosenberg Geruf, Zichron Roche, had Smicha among others. He had Smicha also from the Ostrovs Rebbe, and so he's a tremendous goyim. So brings down over here, Sichen Nefloi. He brings down a tremendous Sichen Nefloi, he says, a communication. He says, Shesoch HaGoyin HaKadosh Remeir Yechiel Mostrovse Zuchus Yogan Leinu. He brings the following from the Ostrovse Rebbe. The Ostrovse Rebbe said the following. He said, Le'echot Machasidov, to one of his Chasidim, Ve'elu Toichen Devaros. And this is somewhat what he said, Betois Zvir, adding a little bit more to it, just to explain it better. He says, Choykre HaTeva Bodku Motsu. He says, Dover Pele. He says, scientists have found out, and they saw something which is fascinating, amazing. Be'inyon dogim shenimtzu beluim betoich meyai hadogim hagdoilim hem. In other words, when fish, the larger fish, whales and so on, even smaller than whales, that are able to eat other fish, one would assume when the larger fish pursues the smaller fish that's in front of him, and the smaller fish is trying to get away, save his life. Now, he's not successful, and the larger fish is able to swallow the victim. Now, if you would cut open the larger fish, which position would you find the smaller fish? Well, you would imagine, well, if he pursues the smaller fishes out of him, the tail and the head, so the tail goes in first, you'd assume. The larger fish is behind the smaller fish, right? So the head of the larger fish is just behind the tail. So when he's swallowing up the smaller fish, so the tail goes back in, so it's tail going next to tail of the bigger fish, and head should be next to head. Yet he says, you cut open the fish, you find it in the reverse. You find that the head of the victim is towards the tail of the bigger fish. As if, so he explains, why is that? You find out, he says, they found out when they cut open, he says, the stomachs of various fish, and they saw that the way the smaller fish was positioned, they had tremendous, he says, astonishment. They never found as much as many fish that they cut up. The larger fish. This is the predators. They cut up larger fish. They assume, at least sometimes, to be able to find that what? That tail first. That the tail goes in first, and then the head. To find the smaller fish should be positioned that way. And yet they never found it that way. They never found that you mechubim can I get raised, shaladagai belayas, novi can I get novi. Never found tail can I get tail, and head should be parallel to the head. El Tomid always it was Rosh Shaladag Hablua. The head of the victim was always facing the tail of the big fish. As if the victim went in head first. As if the victim went in head first into the stomach of the larger fish. Why is that? So Ona Hagoyin HaKodesh Masrov Sevoma Alkach. And he said, Perusha Shildover Hu. He says, to understand the explanation of why this is, Shadag, he says, Eino Yoshen Kishar Habruim. You realize, a fish does not sleep like all other creatures. His eyes are always open. Elatomid, he says, Huor, is always awake, V'oimid Al HaMishmor, and he's always awake, not to be swallowed up, he says, by the larger fish who are always lurking and pursuing him. Shol Yevalu Hadag HaYoyso Godel Memenu. So he points out like this. If the fish's eyes are always open, he's able to feel confident, right, to that which he sees in front of him. Because that which is in front of him, he can see if he's being attacked. But he's not confident of those predators that might come from behind, because he has no eyes behind his back. So the fish feels confident, right, to those potential predators that might be in front of him, because he has eyes in front of his head, that he is able to see. So let's see what happens now. So he says the following. He says, being that the fish, says the Ostras Rebbe, being that the fish has open eyes, literally, he says, he's able to see. He's able to see physically. He's able to see who is coming in front of him, who is coming opposite him. So he does not really have that much fear. Those large fish that he can see opposite his eyes, he doesn't have the extreme fear for that. Because why? Because he's able to protect himself. Because he knows that they're coming. Because he thinks, the fish thinks in his mind, he would always be able to escape. As soon as he sees them coming closer, he's able to escape. So he's confident that he's okay, anything in front of him. But he's fearful and not so confident from the fish that might come from behind. Achi says Lumazet, but in contrast, Yeshloi Pachad Godel. But he has a tremendous pachad. He says Ma'adogim Agdoilim, from the large fish in Nimshtoim Achoyris Novoi. Those large fish that are behind his tail, which he's not able to see, Shari Oisam Ueinam Esugaliris Be'Einof Shebroisher. Those potential predators that might come from behind his tail. Those he's not able to see. So, behechrech, regarding those predators, he has only one etzah. Bitochem b'Hashem, that Hashem will protect him. Behechrech u'biteach b'Hashem shishmerenu ma'adogim ha'gdoilim sh'amachoyer iznovoy. So regarding those potential predators that might come from behind, for those the fish has to rely on bitochem, that my Creator will protect me. But the fish that's coming in front of him, that he feels he has eyes to see, he does not think he needs betochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can take care of it, he can protect himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that when he swallowed up Rabbi Isai, when he swallowed up by the predator, it's head first where his eyes were, showing. Your betochen, your security, says, isn't worth anything unless you have betochen b'Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us. This is from the Dak. The dafke that when you are found in the stomach of the large fish is dafke head first, dafke where you thought because you have eyes in the front. And you thought you're able to protect yourself because you have your own eyes, your koichi, your yadi, my own power. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no. It's the opposite. From behind, because you had bitochen, you were not caught that way. You caught front, head first. So he points out here on top of the page number 4. L'chei marim lo'inim shemayim. So they show us mina shemayim shema'oisim hadogim agdoilim, that those large fish, shenimtsoim achoyriz novoi, those large fish that are behind the tail of the fish, eilam imalafachet. We're showing just the opposite. We're showing that those fish that are behind you, you don't have to really fear. Because being that you're trusting in Hashem, you're going to be okay. Ki mina shemayim shoimrim olof, shlo yivalu, they shouldn't swallow them, mishum shubeteh b'Hashem. Achi said, milifonof. But however, regarding that which is in front of him, Sheshamhu Samuch, there he relies, Ubituach Be'edov Apkuchos, there he relies on his eyes. He thinks that he's able to take care of himself. Bibchinas Koichi Be'ishim Yod is the power of my hand, the power of my seichel, the power of my ability. Dabke Misham Bolamoy said, Dabke, there he's being swallowed. Dabke, in that position is being swallowed, he said. Hadogim Magdoilim, Lelamdeinu. To teach us midas habitochen, she calls man shodam b'teir b'Hashem v'lo b'koyches atzmoi. Calls man when you trust in Hashem and not in your own strength. Oz hu yochel liyesomuchu b'tuach. Then you can really feel secure. Shkadosh Baruch Hu ochi yishmer olav. Shkadosh Baruch Hu will protect him. Avim husoy mechaz v'shom al atzmoi. But once you think you don't have to come on to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you think you can do it all by yourself. The bechin of koychi v'ishim yodi ki oz davke mishom hu olu lipo b'be'er shachas. He says that's when he falls into the pit of destruction. This was the message. This is what the Ostrov Sreder, he says homiletically, apidech hashkofe, what he took out from this phenomenon that we learn from the fish. Comes out, the fish teaches us a tremendous midah bitochen. We see what you gain when you have bitochen, and we see what you lose when you think they can trust in your own powers. The fish, dafke, is positioned and is found in the stomachs of the larger fish, dafke, head first. Because that was the position that he thought he's safe. That was the position he thought he doesn't have to be talking by Hashem. Dafke, that's the way he's being caught, and this is the way that we find him. So fish teals us. This teaches us a tremendous lesson. Be talking by Hashem, that's when you gain, and what can happen, chazishon, in reverse. So now let's go further. So now that we find out that this tremendous lesson regarding the midas habitochen that we can glean from fish is al pi ha'omer, he says, based on that, you can understand the minig Yisrael, Rabbi, so many reasons why we eat fish on Shabbos. All the Sefer Chassidus talk about was the inyan dafke of eating fish on Shabbos. We pointed out one from the Bnei Yisoscher. The inyan of eating fish on Shabbos, there are many reasons. The Bnei Yisoscher points out the following. But at the time of creation, there is only three items that were directly given a bracha, given a blessing by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Man was given a bracha. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man. It says, Vayivorech Elokim, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the creation of man, he gave him a bracha. Fish were given a bracha. Dogim were given a bracha. And the day of Shabbos, Vayivorech Elokim is Yom HaShvi'i. So these three separate items of every day in the week, only one day received the blessing, received the bracha. Shabbos, Vayivorech Elokim is Yom HaShvi'i. Man received the bracha, fish received the bracha. If a man eats fish on Shabbos, all three blessings come together. Here you have an opportunity of bringing all three items, all three unique items, that the only items that received a blessing, here you have an opportunity to have all three brachas together with basachas, together in one time. So points out the Bnei Yisoscher. So now we continue further. Based upon what we learn, the Gevaldo Yemailo Bitochen from fish, from Dogit, so let's take a look and find out another possible reason about eating fish on Shabbos. Al pi ha'omer yum teklos es tam l'shvach, we'll understand a beautiful reason. He says, al minig Yisrael Torah, the fact that we have a custom, la'echel dogim b'Shabbos Kodesh. Ve'inyan hu, the reason is, ki b'sheish esimei achoel, because during the six day, the work week. So during the 6 days a week, on the oiskim b'melocha, we actively pursue a profession, and we do work kedeli sparnes in order to earn our livelihood. Shabbos, on the other hand, is the opposite. Al b'Shabbos kodesh she'osur basiyis malocha. B'Shabbos, being that it's prohibited to do any work, ein ono oisim shum ishtavlus isparnes. So Shabbos, we don't do any ishtavlus in order to gain parnosa. Now, look at this. It's fascinating. During the week, we do ishtavlus for parnosa. Shabbos, we don't. Where do you think all the atzlocha during the week comes from? The bracha comes from Shabbos. The bracha for the entire week comes from Shabbos. The success of your entire week comes from Shabbos. Ochein, he says, Omnam re'eze pele. Look at this, is amazing thing. Shedavke miyoyim ha-Shabbos. Davke the Shabbos when you're not working. Not only Shabbos gives bracha to Shabbos, but Shabbos is the source of bracha for the entire week. We say, kehi mekar ha-bracha, we say, l'chodaydi. Likra Shabbos l'chuv v'necho, kehi mekar ha-bracha. That's the source of bracha. And davke Shabbos, the day that we don't work, that becomes the source of bracha. Not only for the Shabbos day, but that's the source of bracha for the entire week. He says, Davke Shabbos, he says, from the day of Shabbos on the Mispanasim, we receive our panosim b'chol yom ha'is ha'shvur, kakosim, v'ayivorech alikim esherim ha'shvur, kosh bracha gave a bracha to yom ha'shvur, to Shabbos, seventh day v'ayikadosh ha'is, he sanctified it. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, what does the Zohar say? Kol b'rcho'on de le'el of etata, all blessings from above and from down here, b'yom ha'shvur, or talion, depends on the seventh day. So says the Zohar. Vayivorech alikim esherim ha'shvur means the kosh bracha gave a bracha to Shabbos, that Shabbos becomes the source of bracha for the entire week. What's just a bracha that Shabbos itself should be blessed? Shabbos is blessed thereby to have the ability to give bracha, to unleash bracha to the entire week. Explains. Why is that so? Why was Shabbos given this matona, this gift, to be the source of bracha for the entire week? He says, push it. He said, the reason for this is, because during the week when we actively are working, it's dangerous, we are apt to make a mistake in thinking that we ourselves are the cause of our blessing, because we're working, and therefore if we are matriach, we have success, it's very easy to mistake that the source of our bracha is our doing. Shabbos, you can't make the mistake. Shabbos, you can't make the mistake because you're not working. So if there's bracha Shabbos, you can't attribute it to your own strength. The bracha Shabbos, you can't attribute to what you are doing. That's my power. So Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us, therefore, shekol hashefa, that all of the benevolence sheyesh lanu b'sheishes yemei ha'maaseh, that we have during the 6 day week, nimshach davke from Shabbos, because Shabbos you have to be b'teich b'Hashem. Shabbos is not working, so Shabbos you're forced to be b'teich b'Hashem. 6 days a week you may not. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows you that all the success of the 6 day week come davke from Shabbos, and we're not doing any work. That's where everything comes from. He says, comes davke from Shabbos. Hineki kein mitamze. So if that's the pshat, that Shabbos becomes a major source of teaching in the midah of bitochen, because davke on Shabbos, when we don't do any work, so now we are forced to admit and to realize that our hatzloche and all the hashpoyes come in Hashemayim, it's not koichi boitzim yodi. If Shabbos really teaches us the midah of bitochen, what better food to eat on Shabbos is dogim. Dogim we just learned just now from the Osrof Tzerebbe teaches us the midah of bitochen. This is the way the dogim are positioned. That's the chelik that they were caught. They were caught davke from the chelik, from the head, where they thought that they were secure in their own powers. Because Baruch Hashem, it's not that way. That's where you're weak. It's from the tail that you were not caught. Because there you relied on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You realize that there's nothing to fall back on him regarding your own koiches. So hini ki keini says mitam zeh minig yisrael teire lechel dogim b'shabes kodesh. We should learn a very important lesson from the fish. We eat fish on Shabbos, we learn the lesson. Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the fish when? They are protected in that area that they were b'teich b'Hashem. From behind, they would have to be b'teich b'Hashem because they knew they couldn't rely on their eyes. Dafke there, they are not attacked. That's the place that they were secure, because that's the place they were b'teich b'Hashem. That's what we learn from the fish. So in the same way now, k'moikei mashpil on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, shefa b'Shabbos. So Shabbos, we take that lesson from the dogim the same way. Shabbos also, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us all the bracha, all that stock in Shabbos Kodesh for the entire week, l'chol emoy sashvua, b'schus ha'bitochen shonu b'itchim b'Hashem b'Shabbos Kodesh, k'she'ein onu oiskim b'shum alocha. It comes a fascinating, we see a parallel between the midas ha'bitochen that we learn from the dogim, and the midas ha'bitochen that we learn from Shabbos. So by these two things, one enforces the other. And therefore we eat the dogim on Shabbos to become the schazik to the highest level, to the greatest ability to learn the lesson of bitochen. If that's the case, then now, Rabbi Yisrael, let's relate it to Purim, Rabbi Yisrael. Hine, he says, kechol achazoyin azeh. All of this, he says, All of this appreciation, he says, Koralonu b'neis Purim. If you look into it, you'll find out that all of this also happened in Esapurim. How so? Ki kishenofal hapur al chodesh odar. Because when the lots that Haman drew, when it fell on the month of Odar, shemazloi dogim, right, somach Haman. Haman in his own mind, he was happy. He thought that's a good simon. Ki mevur b'medrish, as the medrish says. You go on top. Number 7, shomar. Let's remember, what did Haman say? Haman said, fish are swallowers. He forgot that also some fish are being swallowed. He forgot that part. So Haman said, "Kishem shadogim boilim." The same way that fish swallow others, kachani, so too I will swallow the Jewish people. Kachani balei oisam. Aval toa b'zeh. He made a mistake. Because you know why Kodesh Baruch Hu orchestrated that Haman's lots should come out on Chodesh Adar? Mazel dogim. Because the reason is, kimash yisiveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyipel hapur, that the girl should fall al chodesh odesh emadoi dogim, in order to teach Klal Yisrael that when you are in a tzara, you have to rely on Hashem. That will be the source of your Yeshua. The source of your Yeshua is when you'll understand that when you have a tzara, when you have a problem, you have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the only way to be delivered from a tzara. Because Baruch Hu made it that the girl should fall on chodesh odesh to learn from the fish. When you didn't find themselves in such a tremendous sorrow, such a tremendous catastrophe, it comes to a point that you can't rely on anyone, then they'll be zoiche, it'll happen to them like by the fish. What do you, what by the fish? The fish is not attacked from his area of bitochen. The fish is only attacked from the area that he was weak. From the front, from his eyes, where he thought that he can rely on his own keiches. In a kemikra hadogim mikra lehem, what will happen to the Jewish people will be just like the fish. The area that Yidden and the fish, as we see, have bitachon, Kodesh Baruch Hu protects them. But Haman, on the other hand, he was just the opposite of bitachon. Haman believed in his own strength. Haman was the furthest from Amunah. The Haman shebotach b'keiches atzmo elohoi min aboilim elam min anevloi. So Haman Taker, who believed in his own powers, he became an nevloi. He became those that were swallowed up. Nimsas, what comes out is, Shedavke, he says, Inyan zeh, the davke, precisely because, Shapur nofal al chodesh odar, shemazloi dogim, that was the siman tov l'Yisrael. Because being that Yidden realize they have no one to rely on, they learn from the dogim, that's when you're going to be. So Yidden, when they find themselves in a great sorrow, so here's what works. You find yourself in a great sorrow, so you say to yourself, oh yeah, I'm terribly in trouble. But that trouble itself is the source of Yeshua, because if you recognize you're in such trouble that there's nothing that you can do, only rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu, that goof will bring Yeshua. So the greater the tzara is all more the cause of the Yeshua. Because the greater the tzara, that brings you to the point where you see that you have no one to rely on. So you see from the fish, that's a good simon. Because when I find myself in a position that I recognize I have no one to rely on, the fish teaches me that I'm protected. So that became a simon toiv l'Yisrael. Chodesh Adar Mazel Dogim became a siman tov l'Yisrael, because they in fact were in a matzav that they saw there's no one to rely on, only Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they see from the fish, that's the Siba Yeshua. That goof is going to be the Siba of the Yeshua. So that is a tremendous lesson. Rabbeisa again. So this is again a little bit for Purim again, and in tune of what we're learning here in the Chovis Alvodis of Achar B'tochen. So let's take the next few minutes a little bit. Let's take a look at the Chovis Alvodis. Chovis Alvodis here is in the Chovis Alvodis, it's on page Reish Lamed Dalad, on top of the Yomud. Reish Lamed Dalad, Ve'omar Echod Min HaChasidim. Reish Lamed Dalad, on top of the page. Ve'omar Echod Min HaChasidim. Now I'm going to make the following point, just to speak like Hagdomen. Chovis Alvodis, from time to time, we have pointed out all over the Chovis Alvodis, not just Kishara B'tochen, all over. He's very, very often, very used to, accustomed to bringing words of Chochmah, words of Hanhoge, to learn from Chasidim. Chasidim, great people. Chasidim, Yidden, who are Oyvei Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he brings either very interesting sentences, interesting words, words of Chochmah, words of wisdom, and so on. Here, precisely, needs a little bit of an introduction. And one should not make a mistake in misinterpreting the first few lines here of this particular Chovis Alvodis. And that is, we know that one of the fundamental characteristics and midos toivos, refined midos of a yid, is to have a korasatoiv. One cannot say enough. And so many Sifrei Musar, so many Sifrei Musar on all levels. And this crosses the board from right to left, different madregas of having HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If someone does you a favor, to be thankful and appreciative of one doing you a favor. So that is clear that there is not only, it's a nice thing to do, it's imperative. It's a choiv, it's important. It's obligatory. You have to have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, all the great tzaddikim, if someone do them even a small favor, all the life they would recognize that toive and be makir toive. However, the Chovos Lavovos comes to teach us a little deeper. He says, and this is on two counts. Number one, if a person does a favor to his fellow man, to another person, the person who does the favor should not be in a position, I expect him to thank me. Yes, expect him to thank me only from the point is that you have to be a mensch to thank one. But not expect to thank me because I did him a favor. Because you doing him a favor, you have to understand you're a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bestow that favor on another person. So the truth is you're just a puppet pulled by the strings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You happen to be the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you the shliach, made you the messenger. So therefore, to feel that it's owed to you because you did it, he says no. The giver, the bestower of the favor, should not be in a position to feel that he is owed. The other person should have appreciation. But you, the one who is bestowing the favor, should understand that you are no more than a shliach, number one. Number two, the one who shows appreciation, the receiver, the beneficiary, and it just we said, it's very important to have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but while he's thanking that person, he should understand that the true thanks goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And many, many people, they become so humbled by someone who does them a favor that they almost forget that really where the source of that favor came from, and all of their efforts and appreciation, all the effort goes to the person, disregarding and forgetting that there is a higher power who in fact was the cause of all of this. This is the point of the Chovos Lavovos. So when you do have appreciation, but always remember, be cognizant of to whom the true HaKadosh Baruch Hu belongs. And here how he starts to say. And he says in the name of Echad Min HaChassidim. Vona Echad Min HaChassidim. He is one of the great, says, pious people, elegant people, said as follows. And this is what he said. One of the Chassidim said, Ani Tomea, he says, I am amazed. Mimisha Noisen L'Chaveroi. When someone does a favor to someone, Masha Goza Aloi Etzloi Haboire. You see, you don't realize that. When Reuben does a favor to Shimon, assuming that he has a good heart, but he fails to think about it, that the reason that Shimon happens to be able to receive is because Hashem was Geyser, that Shimon should be a beneficiary of this favor. So the truth is, Reuben giving to Shimon is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Geyser, that Shimon should receive this item. So Ani Tomea, he says, I'm amazed. Mimi Shenoisel Chaveiroi. When someone does a favor to someone else, he emphasizes this. This happened because Hashem wanted that so and so should be the beneficiary of this favor. Here the Echad Min HaChassidim is indicting the giver, that the giver expects that he deserves the thank you because he gave. He said that's a flaw in thinking, that he believes that he deserves the thank you because he gave. Tani Tomea, he says, and we're talking about people who are believers, he says. Non-believers have nothing to talk about. The Echad Min HaChassidim, he says, I'm amazed on people who believe in Hashem, and when they do a favor to someone, they feel that they are really owed the thank you because they gave the favor, not realizing is that this favor was transmitted because Memashe Gozaloi Etzloi Haboire. And yet he insists, B'yivakish Lehoidesloi, as he points out over here. And then he goes further. The Yoisani Tomeya. And I have even a greater amazement, says Echad Min HaChassidim, on the beneficiary, on the receiver. And Tomeya Mimishi Kibbol, he says, Tirfoy al Deyacher. The receiver who received Tirfoy means, let's say he receives his livelihood from someone. So he says, which is Mukhrach Lesitoyloi. Who the Chovos Lavovos says? Someone gives you a job, he's a very nice person also. But it was Geizim and Hashemayim that person should give you a job. Because Baruch Hu planted it in the mind of the employer that he should employ you. Look what he says. Because it was mochrach l'sitoloi, and memel v'yekonaloi, so now you become so humble, dafke to this person, that you faseyu, you appease him, you shabchu, forgetting the thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. You see here the lotion? Mochrach l'sitoloi. If someone gave you a job, he owns the company, and he gave you a job. He doesn't realize he gave you a job, not by choice. He was forced to give you a job. He thinks that he chose to give you a job. That's what he thinks. He doesn't understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu put it into his mind to give so-and-so, to give you a job. That's what the Chovetz Chaim says. That's why it's mochrech l'sitoloi, to give him. Because, you know, the Gemara tells him about Metzia many times, how Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Ashiris, gave prosperity to the Ashirim, only to be able to share it with the Aniyim. So the only reason maybe why you're the boss of a company is to give that person a job, and to give that person a job, to give that person a job. That's the only reason. So you think you're doing it voluntarily. The only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Ashiris, and this is found in the Gemara of Abbasar, tells us the following. Let me tell you, remind you of a Gemara. The Gemara of Abbasar, David, that to Nisrufus Arosha, he asked Rabbi Kiva, he asked him a philosophical question. He says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oyev Esaniyim, if he loves the poor people, so why doesn't he give them parnosa? Kodesh Baruch Hu loves aniyim. We find so many psukim. Kodesh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on aniyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu hears the cry of the oni. So the Rufus Rosh says, really? Kodesh Baruch Hu loves aniyim. He loves them. He has feelings for them. So why doesn't he give them parnosa? So Bikiv answered, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives other human beings the opportunity to sustain the aniyim. Lizkois anachnu, he says, or lizakois anachnu, he says, medina shel gehenna. To give the Ashirim a schus by giving the tzedakah to be able to protect them from Gehenna. The schus of tzedakah will protect them from Gehenna. Which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mefarnes the aniyim through the money of the Ashirim to be mezakeh the Ashirim, to do a favor for the Ashirim. So you see that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Ashirim all these opportunities. He gave it them for one reason, that they should be mefarnes the aniyim. So this is the Nekudah. This is the Nekudah where we find over here. Now you realize that the Chosid, the Echum and the Chassidim, asked actually two questions. One question is, I don't understand how the giver, again, who is a Maamin Bashem, thinks that he is owed the thank you. And he really insists upon it. Again, you should say thank you. It's important to say thank you. But the question is what your attitude is. What your attitude is with that. So the Echum and the Chassidim asked the person who insists that the thank you is coming to me. It's coming to me. That was one question, he says. In other words, the question is, because the fact that you did a favor for someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly only gave you the Ashiris in order you should do that favor. The only reason that you have the ability, the only reason that you have the prosperity is for you to do the favor. So what are you asking or insisting, thinking that what? That he owes it to you, he owes it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are just a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do all of these favors to the other people. And also, He says, Yoyser ani tamei. You know, why does he say, why is the second one a greater amazement than the first question? He says, the second question is, why is it that the person, the receiver, feels so humbled as if he only owes the thank you to the one who gave him and forgets to thank Hashem, who is the real benefactor, the real one who does all of this, the benevolence of all that? And the answer is quite simple. Because the teva of a person, Rabbi Yisai, one of the Perushim Achoyvus of all this is a perush called Paslechem. He says, the nature of man is that he does not want to be humbled in front of anybody else. That's the nature of man. A person has his dignity. Nature of man is not to be humbled for anybody else. So Mamela, he says, so the second question, therefore, is a greater amazement. How come you allow yourself, you receive a favor from someone, why do you allow yourself to be so humbled against that person, which is against human nature, rather than being humbled truly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On the other hand, the first question, why the giver feels that he's owed something, well, it's human nature to be recognized. So that is human nature. So the second question therefore becomes a deeper question that the Chovetz Chaim points out from Echa Chassidim. And he goes on to say further, that the truth is that if a person does not receive his panos, a person tried, he tried a certain profession, and it didn't work out. He says the reason it didn't work out, he says, could be a number of reasons. Could be that the panosa for this day, kvar kodam etzloi bubishusoi. Many times the person already has the panosa, is not aware of it. Maybe just around the corner. Or maybe all he had to do is make a phone call to find out. Many times when you think you're unsuccessful, he says, truly, he says, You really are successful, but you just don't know it yet. And then he says, "Oy sheboloy al ponam acherim," or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has other plans of how your panosah should come. Bal eze ponam shiyeh, but no matter, he says, no matter which way your panosah is going to come, which way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planned it, you have to do your hishtadlus. Again, he says, "Roy loy lis asik b'sibuis." It's appropriate that you have to do and find ways. The al yarpe, he says, mechazer aleihem. Again, do not slack off. Do not shirk your responsibility, saying, "You know, I've been talking to Hashem. Hashem will throw me the panosah." They were great, great Bala Batochim, which is a way higher madrega. Because I was not talking about that. Talking about the average person. The average person, you are Beteir Bashem, but yet, you have to be Mechazolem, you have to pursue a Panosa, Kishem Reuyois, a type of Panosa that fits, he says, your personality you try to find, which is Reuyois Lemidoisov, which is appropriate, he says, to your midas, to your character, will agufoi to your physical strength. If you're a weak person, you can't carry heavy loads. So it has to be something that your guf, your body can carry. Things that bekitzer that are something that are in tune, that are in line with your personality and to your world. Kashkadamti, which I already pointed out already, he says earlier. The yiftachim ze, and with all the shtablis, the end result is it's not your shtablis that's giving you the parnosa. Through the shtablis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the parnosa. It's not your doing. You always have to have bitochen b'Hashem, whatever you're doing. Shalei yazvu, you have to have bitochen b'Hashem, Hashem will not leave you. He says, v'lo yarpeyu, and Hashem, he says, will not leave you weak. V'lo yisal memenu, Hashem will not turn away from you. K'mo shenema, as the Pesuk says, toiv Hashem lamo'ois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, will be a stronghold b'yom tzara. When a person finds himself in the face of adversity, a person finds himself in the time of pain, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you put your trust in Hashem, Hashem will be your stronghold. And v'yodei, Hashem always knows chosei bo, those who seek refuge in Him and not trying to find artificial means, but rather understand from where in fact the true Yeshua is coming. One few more lines, Rabbi Isai. And the same thing is not only by panose. You have to do your shtablus, but recognize it's not your shtablus that's giving you the panose. Is to be tochen b'Hashem, that through the shtablus, Hashem will give you a brocha. Same thing regarding your health also. People, healthy, not healthy, sickness, and so on, comes the same thing. You have to be tochen that Hashem will keep you healthy, but you have to do the right thing. You cannot say, I have be tochen that Hashem will give me long life, and therefore you go and abuse it. That you can't do. He says, V'chein, he says, Noima binyan habriyas v'choyli. The same thing is regarding one's health or sickness. Kalho Odom, on the one hand, liv toyach baboyere bozeh. A person on the one hand has to be talking to Hashem that He's going to keep me healthy. Well, hishtadel, but you have to be mishtadel. You have to put in the effort. Basmodas habriyos, to see, to worry about your health. Bisibois, doing the things that nature asks for. You live in a natural world. Bisibois ashemitivonze, which that is teva. The litchos hamadve, he says, and to push away those things that cause pain. The litchos hamadve said b'mashe nahagu, he says litchosoi. He says, you have to do whatever is necessary. The Torah says, Rapa, what is the Gemara Darshan from that Pasuk? The Gemara Darshan is Mikan, Shinitin, Rishus, L'Roifel, L'Rapois. Where's the double ocean? Rapa, Yerapa. Mikan, Shinitin, Rishus, was given Rishus for a doctor, L'Rapois. Why do you need Rishus? Why does the doctor need Rishus? Why did the Torah have to give Rishus for a doctor to heal? So what does Tosfos tell us? And by the way, and there are those believers. You can call them fanatics. Who believe, you know, there are those believers that say, if Hashem made any of us ill, then we have no right to go to a doctor, because that's the way Hashem wants. That is against the philosophy of Judaism, is against the philosophy of Torah. Hashem even made you ill to put you in a situation, but at the same time, you have to go through all the routes that are acceptable according to the mainstream, which is the understanding of medicine, to heal yourself. Because all the trouble, that's also part of Hashem's plan. You get a flat tire, but now go and fix it. It's a headache to have to go fix it, but you have to go fix it. So all the things, when it's in the area of health and so on. So he says, V'rapa yirape, Nibli sheyiftach, he says, Al sibis habriyas v'acholi, he says, Shemayilis v'mezikos abishus habari. Understand, nothing harms you only because Hashem wants and said that this thing is going to harm you, and it's because Hashem said this thing is going to make you healthier. So you have to do things understanding that even though you're going through the motions of doing what you have to be doing, but understand it is all because this is in the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, into the world of nature. Let's just conclude, Rabbi Yisrael, the next 2-3 minutes. And that is one of the classics of Rav Sholem Shadron, and we said it many, many years ago. Rishon spoke about a Yid whose name was Rav Avrom. This particular Rav Avrom was a person, a very friendly person. He would greet everybody with a smile, a warm hello, and he was always ready to help. Anybody in need, he was ready to help him. A particular afternoon, he was in Crown Heights, the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, and he finds himself in a restaurant, and he's eating lunch in the restaurant. He notices in the distance, a well-known Jewish beggar. Someone who was a bearded individual and who happened to be a familiar figure in all the yeshivas in metropolitan New York, because he would make his way from this yeshiva into that yeshiva and fleshing out his hand, you know, so on, as we see all the time. Interesting is that although nobody knew fully his history of this beggar, but it was said that once upon a time he was a respected Talmud Chacham. Not only that, he had a melodious voice and he would still sing many times haunted Jewish melodies. But it's because of the war. It was because of the war that his life was shattered. His life was shattered and became very quiet, almost a recluse. And his life was sort of like a destroyed life. And no one seemed to know where he lived. No one knew how he survived from day to day. And with his crushed hat and his tattered clothing, he was known as Ribeiro. That was his name. So Sholem used to say that Rav Avrom, he sees this Ribeiro, he says, in the restaurant. So he calls him over to greet him and says, you know what, I invite you to come eat with me. He realized this Ribeiro, he says, must be a hungry person. He says, come in and eat with me. He says, I don't like to eat alone. Ribeiro agreed to sit down. He says, however, he insisted he was not in the mood to eat. I'll sit with you, he says. Because Rav Avrom said, I don't want to eat alone. So okay, you don't have to eat alone, I'll sit down with you. He said, now eat with me sitting next to you. I don't want to eat. Rav Avrom, on the other hand, figured that this Ribeiro probably hadn't had a decent meal, he says, in days or maybe weeks. So Ribeiro insisted, he says, no, you can order whatever you want. So Ribeiro said, no. The only thing, he says, that he accepted was two baked apples and a glass of hot tea. That's what he asked for. They ate together, he eats his apples, and Rav Avrom eats his lunch. Turns out that Rav Avrom goes home. He was a person who was in business, and he had to make a trip to Binghamton, New York. Binghamton, New York, you know, is way beyond the Catskills, about a four-hour trip from New York. And his wife says to Rav Avrom, he says, you know what, I hear that the forecast is it's going to be very rainy evening. It was already close to nighttime. He says, I don't want you to drive during the night. And Rav Avrom says, listen, he says, I've made this trip many, many times. I know it by heart. He says, and you know what, and if it really gets bad, I can always check into a motel. So he insists that he wants to travel. And Kachavit, so he travels, so he finds himself somewhere on Route 17 already, and the rain came down, pouring literally torrential rains. Before he realized what happened, his car skidded, stuck around the highway, and the path, mommy skidded, and the path of oncoming traffic. All he knows is he heard a thud, there was a shatter of glass, the impact that knocked him senseless. When he came to, interesting, he was able to move himself. He tried to get out. He couldn't push the door open. He finally squeezed himself out and saw that his car plunged into a very deep ditch. Out of nowhere, people somehow came and tried to help him. Eventually, they lifted him to safety. They needed two tow trucks to pull that car out of the ditch. And the Ravron went to the service station in one of the trucks and was suggested that he stays in a motel nearby. But he remembered a friend who owned a hotel. Those days, the Catskills, many years ago, there was a lot of hotels. He remembered a friend that owned a hotel nearby. And it was only 2 weeks after Pesach. So the owner, he figured, of the hotel and his wife would still be there. Would still be there. Still only 2 weeks after Pesach. And they had a Pesach season. He figured they'd still be there. And until it was after Pesach, Nochmer, he figured that maybe this might be there still as a hachonah for the summer season. He dialed the number, and the mice, unfortunately, they were there. He finds that they were there. It was almost midnight, but they said they were going to wake up for him. The tow company called a taxi for him. It was about after midnight when the cab pulled up to that hotel. It was called the Friedman's Hotel. You know what happened? So, of course, you can imagine that he came out to greet him and he expressed the thanks to Hashem for saving his life. Then Mrs. Friedman says to him, says, you must be so tired. Let me give you something to eat. I just made these. And she serves him two apples and a glass of hot tea. Shalom to say, he showed him in a Shemayim, he says, the reason his life was saved, because of his last achnosah sochim before the trip, that he gave the two apples and the hot tea to the Zid Ribeiro. So you never know any little thing that you do, how that itself, not always do we see him in a Shemayim, the messages, to see the connections, but here clearly one was able to see it. two apples and a glass of hot tea. This Rabbi Yisrael Chodesh of Purim is Hashem. We should be zoiched, tashgachas Hashem in our own lives, in the lives of the entire Klal Yisrael. We should see all of the Yeshuas, all the Chumas of the Nes of Purim, and to see the real Gula Shalem of Meir Ben Amen.